Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who hates shaking hands, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Great to have you with me on a Thursday night. Thursday is like, you know, the Friday night of the week. Because tomorrow, Fridays are pretty easy days, at least from a mental standpoint. Fun show tonight on Nightlight. Great to have you with me. I have an in-studio guest, which I'm always excited about. Heather Heil will be along shortly to discuss an article I read that said Wisconsin had 41 of the top 50 drunkest counties in America.
Go Wisconsin.
Right. That's Conrad Krieger, ladies and gentlemen. The lovely and talented Conrad Krieger.
Well, thank you, Pete.
You're very welcome. You ready to take some texts tonight, buddy?
I am. I'm really excited to look at all of your texts through the Civic Media
I would
app
hope so.
Or the phone number.
Okay. Oh, I see what you were doing. For a minute there, you sounded like my agent who I used to send him scripts and I'd go, did you like it? And he'd go, or I would say, did you read it? And he'd go, yeah, read the whole thing. Like, well, I would expect you to, which means he didn't read it. It's like when someone sees you, like when you know someone's in a grocery store and you know they see you and you say hi to them and they go, oh, didn't see you there. Yeah, you did.
You saw me when I walked in, all yeah. right? We know what happened.
You were waiting for me to say hello and you were hoping I didn't. That's what I take away from that. Heather Heil will be here soon in studio. And filmmakers Seth Anderson and Jason Hagen, they created a series, an indie film series called Northbound in the UP. They will be along in the 8 o'clock hour to discuss that. It's about a post-apocalyptic world where they're trying to figure out what happened. A lot of the Earth's population is gone, and there's some survivors left in the UP. I have to ask them because I got to tell you, it post-apocalyptic is bad enough. But when it's in cold weather, oh, that's got to hurt even more. So Seth and Jason will be along in the second hour. Heather Heil will be here shortly. And Heather and I are going to discuss Wisconsin's drinking problem or drinking prowess, however you want to say it. And that leads me to tonight's question. What is an acceptable number of drinks to have on a first date? Let's start in-house. Conrad, thoughts? Mr. Woohoo, oh, Wisconsin is the most alcoholic state.
I don't know about this one. I would say,
like, do you have one to take the edge off? Do you have several if it's going poorly? Well, I guess it depends.
If you find yourself not being able to talk that well in conversation, maybe have a couple of them.
A couple?
Let the conversation flow.
What would you, okay, if you had a girl you liked, which I assume you would if you asked her out, or she asked you out.
Yeah.
How many... Where would you go? Whoa, that's a lot of booze she's drinking over there. Like, what would be too much for you on a first date?
I would say if I can notice that she's like really drunk or something.
Okay.
Like, you know, it's like I'm trying to have a nice conversation, trying to get to know her.
Right.
And she's just like, hey, wanna take another shot?
Oh man, shots on a first date. That's a recipe for disaster. Or a recipe for a really fun night.
Yeah, you never know, I guess.
I guess not. And I'm not here to judge. I'm truly curious. It's a popular date. You go out for drinks and it takes the edge off. It probably loosens people up a little bit. But I'm just wondering, like, what's too much? 8 gin and tonics, 3 shots, 4 beers. I mean,
I'd probably say 8 gin and tonics would probably be over.
Let me finish. Over the course of an 8-hour date. So that's 1 gin and tonic.
That's a long date.
It's a long date. But if it's going great.
I guess, yeah.
And you're thirsty.
Well, then that's all right. With a side of water.
Yeah, you got to have, that's what they say. You should order a glass of water with every drink.
Yeah.
That way, you can go pee every 5 minutes and collect your bearings. Exactly. Look at yourself in the mirror and see if you look right. So that'll be a fun discussion. Today is National Supermarket Employee Day. And I will say, you know, there's so much to complain about with American consumerism. I'm tired of everywhere I go being asked to tip. It's like, and these multi-billion dollar companies, their employees are the ones asking for tips. And it's not even them. It's probably the corporation, so they can pay them less. But, you know, everywhere you go, they want a tip. And I say, pay your employees. You can afford it. Don't shake down your customers for an extra dollar or two for a cup of coffee. So I have a policy like every other time I tip. Because it's not, I'm kind of against it, but I'm a people person and I like to throw money away that I don't have. But where I'm going with this is supermarket employees. I can't ever remember encountering a rude supermarket employee. Like they could be in the middle of stocking shelves. Like sometimes you go into a place and you want a table or you order a drink and they look at you like you're in their house asking them for free booze or for them to make you food. No. This is an establishment. You have a business license. You claim to serve food. That's why I'm here. Be nice to me. My point is supermarket employees, I never have this issue with. And I can't remember ever being mistreated by a supermarket employee. They're always so nice. So I guess where I'm going with this is I believe that they deserve a day. I'm glad that today is National Supermarket Employee Day because, you know, I think for the most part, they're really helpful. And like I said, they could be in the middle of stocking a shelf. You ask them, but this almost may, they're almost too nice. Cause sometimes you go up to them and you say, hey, where's the ginseng or wherever, where are the sunflower seeds? And they'll say, I think they're in aisle 4. And then they lead you there. Like that's overly nice.
They're trying to see if they're right.
Maybe, or maybe they think you're a dunce. They're in aisle 4, sir. I better take you there myself.
Do you know where aisle 4 is?
Yeah, you look like you need a chaperone. So, viva La National Supermarket Employee Day. I'm all in favor of the supermarket employees. They're probably underpaid like most people are that do that kind of work. They should probably be paid more. Maybe we should, Conrad, take a memo. Maybe we should look into this.
See, what I'm, why I think that they deserve a day as well is I think they're the employees that get the most, hey, I can't find my mom.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then they lead you to your mom or something. They find your mom.
Your mom's an aisle 5 kid. Beat it.
That's what you would say if you worked.
If your kid is too dumb to find aisle 5. No, you're right, though. They're like incredibly, for the most part, very helpful people. And I'm glad they have a day. Oh, it's also National Margarita Day. That's my favorite day today. Forget everything I said about supermarket employees.
Looks, I know what I'm doing when I get home.
How many drinks?
How many margaritas?
All right, fair enough. How many margaritas is it okay to have when you're drinking alone at home? At the Conrad Batch Pad.
That's a different question, I guess. I would say until I want to go to sleep.
Yeah, or until sleep just takes over.
Exactly.
National California Day. I lived there for 15 years. Love California. National Chili Day. It's a lot of days. Good days today.
Yeah.
If I could be sitting in the sun, drinking a margarita, eating chili in California with a really nice supermarket employee, this day would be like the greatest day ever.
The best Thursday.
It would be. It would be the best Thursday. It would top most Fridays. So that's our question tonight is, what is an acceptable number of drinks to have on a first date? You can let us know. We'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, or you can text us on the Civic Media app. Our show is on statewide. Just click on any of the stations and you can text us right from there. We love when people, the show is so much more fun when the texters are active and live. Rico got a little carried away last night, a little sassy, but We love it when people text. You can text on anything we're talking about. It'd be great. This is a strange day too, because there's, you know, we always look at whose birthday it is. I use that kind of as a conduit to talking about certain films or TV shows or whatever. There are some birthdays today. Drew Barrymore turns 48. Steve Irwin, God rest his soul, turns or died in 2006. I think he was only in his 40s. George Washington died in 1799. That was bound to happen. Robert Wadlow died in 1942 at the age of 22. Conrad, do you know the significance of Robert Wadlow?
No, I do not.
He is the tallest man to have ever lived. He was 8 feet 11 inches tall.
Wow.
That's insane. And he couldn't dunk. Very short arms. No, but he died at, you can laugh, Conrad, was that not funny?
It was.
What are you doing over there?
I'm taking a powder, I'm sorry.
Evidently. No, Robert Wadlow, 8 feet 11 inches tall, and he died at only 22. And I assume from health complications, he's in the Guinness Book of World Records. He was casually known as the Giant of Illinois, which is really strange because he was from Missouri. Don't know that. I assume he's from Illinois. Due to his size, they made him a specialized desk to use during elementary school. He wasn't just tall. He weighed over 400 pounds. Crazy. He and Andre the Giant were both known for their towering heights. And this poor guy, he died in 1940 at the age of 22. He looks like he's about 45. Like, would you want to be that tall? Seriously, like
I don't think I would.
No, most people wouldn't, but how tall, what's the tallest you'd go?
6'4".
6'4"? Okay. I have a brother who's 6'7". I think he's self-conscious about that sometimes. It's also Lea Salonga's birthday. She's from the cast of Les Mis, has a beautiful voice. Maybe we'll hear something from Lea. But we want to hear your texts first. What is an acceptable number of drinks to have on a first date? Let us know. We read your text next and maybe talk a little more old school. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. So fun to light the night on a Thursday. I would say Thursday is probably most people's favorite day of the week, just because it's not quite the weekend. Leading in, though, it's National Supermarket Employee Day. What more could we ask for? There's a new film coming out called Driveaway Dolls. Ethan Coen is the director and co-writer. Joel Coen sat this one out. He took a powder, Conrad.
just like me.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing, but this is one half of the Coen brothers, and it looks pretty good. It's reviewing fairly well. But here's a suggestion for the weekend if you're looking for something to watch in theaters. Let's play that trailer.
What? Don't touch it. I saw this movie once where they come across this box and they open the box.
The case.
And it was like really, really bad.
I just want to know what's going on.
I bet it's locked.
We just want to locate your friends.
Who are you?
It's when women curse like that.
Those girls just drove off with something we need.
We gotta call the cops.
Cool your jets. Here's what we do.
Sell it back. Shake them down.
That is about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And I'm a cop.
Yeah, baby.
Who
Who are you?
Save the sanctimony.
And hand over the million smackers.
We should see what's in here.
Rivalry dolls, figured off.
What the hell?
Yeah, we forgot to tell you about the swab guy's head in the hat box.
I think that looks cool. I love a good caper movie. It reminds me a little bit of Simple Plan. They find a briefcase in a trunk. The film stars Matt Damon and Margaret Qualley. If you've seen, she's actually Andy McDowell's daughter. And she was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, too, making a name for herself. So I will be checking that out. If you want to see it this weekend, we can discuss it next week here on Nightlight. We have a call. Conrad?
Yes, we got Tom from LA calling in.
Okay, very cool. Now, does he know that usage rates might apply? Did he call collect?
I don't know.
Okay, put him through. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Pete. First off, we the people ultimately are the government and not the corporations, and we should know that.
Yeah.
And wake up to that fact. Second, I wanted to ask you, has anyone ever talked about in Hollywood or in the movie industry about like changing the trailers back to the way they used to be, where you just show a snippet of the film rather than showing the whole film all in, you know, the trailer?
Boy, you know, Tom, that's a great question. And I don't disagree with you. That's my wife's biggest complaint is always they give you the whole movie. Like I totally
agree. Whole movie.
Pardon?
I said the whole movie.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I don't even feel like I have to go watch it.
Right. And I do think cutting a good trailer is an art form in and of itself, but you have to do it without giving away the whole plot. And I love what you just said. I didn't realize that was a common practice. I knew they did it at times, but I would much rather see just a little insight into the film, something to kind of whet my appetite for it, as opposed to the whole film. I'm totally with you.
Yeah. I think years ago, I think they used to do it where like years and years ago before I was even probably around. But what they would do is they would play like a little scene from the movie.
Yeah.
But they would not go into the highs and lows and, you know, show all the top parts of the movie or show the whole movie, you know, all in 2 minutes or, you know, 10 minutes or whatever it was. It was better because you got to know the character. And the reason I think, you know, people really watch films and whether it's TV or whatever it is that you have to care about the character. And that's why acting is so important, because if you don't give a crap about the character or the actor, it's not really that much fun anyway.
I could not agree more. Are you in the biz, Tom?
No, I'm not. I'm from Durand, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Originally I went to a school in Green Bay. And so I'm from Wisconsin, but I've been in LA for 25 years. And no, I own the gay and lesbian pages is what I do. I own a directory that's for LGBTQ.
Oh, gotcha.
Plus community. Okay. But yeah, but anyway, I just think that they really ruin the whole movie with trailers, the way that they do trailers now.
How about this
and I'm
time?
Sure they do it just to get, you know, to get clicks and to get whatever, but it's like, I don't know. I fall asleep during movies now because I already know what's going to happen.
Right. And they do tend to give away the ending in the trailer so often. Here's what I like to do. I like to go into a film not knowing anything about it. Now, I typically will only do that when I know the filmmakers or have a level of trust there, like the Coen brothers. But I went to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, not really knowing what it's about, not even knowing that there was a Charles Manson angle. And I love just being pleasantly surprised to begin with. I think that's half the fun.
Yeah, I think the big thing is if you can take, you know, referrals from friends or whatever it is, because you do that a lot with streaming.
Yeah.
And you don't watch any of the trailer part of it, it's probably the best way to go. But I don't know why Hollywood hasn't gotten that clue. And instead of showing the, you know, the funny parts or the high parts or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Why does they just don't show like a little snippet of a clip of the movie so you know a couple of the characters and that's it, you know? And so
yeah,
come through this movie.
That's
so,
a very
anyway, stuff. I don't know if there's a way that we can put together
some a movement
of, you know, you know, yeah, some pressure on Hollywood to get back to doing that, but that is the way they used to do it, and I thought it was a lot better.
Yeah, and it might help. Hey, Tom, great phone call. Thanks so much. Have a great night, buddy.
Thank you.
You got it. Oh, I should have asked Tom for a recommendation of what he's watching, but we got, oh, someone's watching on the stream. I always love when people watch in the stream too. Hi, Stacy Sue. Nice to see you here. Thanks for joining us. You can watch, Conrad, how can people watch the, this is actually a TV show. It's not just radio. If you want to see me sitting and talking and running my lips, feel free, folks.
I think you just might have drove away people from that now.
Yeah, well, I am wearing a shirt. Don't worry. Don't be nervous. On Facebook, they can watch.
So, yeah, YouTube. We have a Nightlight with Peach Rob Facebook page, a WGBW Facebook page, on the Civic Media YouTube, and it's on Twitter or X on the WGBW. So
very cool. So, yeah, four absolutely. Options. And you can text in from the stream as well. My goal is Broadway. I want to take this show to Broadway. I want to dance, and I want to sing, and I want to give you people something really to cheer about.
I'll be on the piano for you.
Yeah. You can't take a powder when it's a live show like that. Well, I mean, we're live now, but I'm just saying. That was a really interesting call, and I do agree with that. And sometimes Rotten Tomatoes will put clips from a movie. They'll put the trailer too, but I purposely won't watch that. I'll just watch the clips. And I have to say, I'm more intrigued 9 times out of 10 from the clips than from... Because the trailer, giving away a lot of the movie, that can chase people away too. So, all right, we are going to address this list that came out a few days ago where they ranked the 50 drunkest counties in America. And I'm going to tell you how many Wisconsin has when we come back. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Around you, hold you close to me. Oh, baby, I want to taste your lips. I want to be a fantasy. Yeah.
You're not just another lover, no, you're everything to me. Every time I'm with you, baby.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwab podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwab anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwab.
Welcome back. All right, so I think we established that.
Am I there?
What did we
there
learn? We
go. Okay.
By the last segment, Conrad, that Conrad likes to drink alone.
Well,
like
all
George
right.
Thorogood,
and we appreciate supermarket employees. it is my pleasure to welcome to the show a multiple guest appearance. Now,
yeah, you've made more
second
than time.
One. Heather Heil.
I'm back. I
Green
made it back.
Green Bay's own. Of course you made it back.
I've arrived. Thank
Did
you for
think
having
you weren't
me.
Going to be invited back just because I had to ask you to leave and call
yes.
the authorities last
yeah,
time?
Yeah, when you pushed me out the door, that All was right. my cue that I it was the last see. Time. So thank you for having me. I'm excited
hey,
to be here.
My pleasure. Thanks for coming in. So how have you been?
So good. So busy. Yeah. I was walked in here, though, and just so you know, I've been 2 days without a drink. An
two
alcoholic
days.
Beverage. 2 whole days.
Is that a record or is that... what do you make
no,
of that?
It's just not an
was it
oddity.
Conscious or
but
are you just out of
no,
money
just
or what
out
happened?
Of, no, out of money. No, just not a conscious thing. It was just tonight at dinner, I was like, no, I'm not going to have a glass of wine with my sushi because I'm going to go do radio. And I was like, oh, I haven't had wine in 2 days.
Okay, so yesterday was just an anomaly and then today yeah. you piggybacked. Okay.
Yeah, we went to the St. Norbert girls tournament game last night. So there was no alcohol served at the game. So there was it wasn't an option. And I just was like, no, I know, right?
What is this world coming
to?
I
try
to
support the sports.
Is it high school?
No, it's St. Norbert College.
Oh, St. Norbert College. Yeah.
But at
college.
Yeah, GB games you can get it. I know different.
Can you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. There's people looking in the window.
Are they? Yeah, I don't know what's going on. This camera is new here. But there's a live feed. Yeah, this wasn't here the last time I was here.
You're on TV basically. So it's great to have you.
I feel famous.
So Heather, let's get down to brass tacks, as they say. I wanted to get, you know. We had so much fun last time. I wanted to ask you, this is, all right, and for those of you listening, Wisconsin, our fair state, has, all right, they did a study, they ranked the 50 most drunk counties in the U.S.
Yeah, in the United States overall.
Correct. And Wisconsin has 42 of them.
You guys, we have to do better. We have got to do better.
Honestly, is that... Is that shocking or is that just some counties are being lazy?
I thought when I originally saw this list that it was the drunkest counties in Wisconsin. It's not. It's the U.S. And 42 of them are ours.
42? I mean, what do you think the rest of the country thinks about us? I mean, I think we already have that reputation as being kind of a party state and for appreciating alcohol. But to this degree, 42 out of 50.
No, and I honestly, outside looking in, being in it, though, however, it was because we had all of the college towns and all of that partying happening and with NFL teams and the Bucks and basketball and all of the tailgating that factored into it.
You sound like you're making excuses. Well, we have sports here.
Well, I thought that that's what it was, but it's not. And I looked at the criteria that you had sent over of what defines what parameters they had. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, no, So they said adults who reported heavy or binge drinking within the prior 30 days.
Right.
Binge drinking, by their definition, is consuming 4 or more drinks for women and 5 or more drinks for men. That's a Monday night.
That's the first thing I thought of. In this state, and I'm not saying that's wrong or right, but... And I personally have not had a drink now in about 15 months.
So my 2 days is nothing. Yeah. Is that conscious?
I laugh at your 2 days. Yes, it is. It's not state ordered or court ordered. I just decided I'm going to give this up and one day turn into two. And I've done it before. And I used to be kind of a fun drunk, I think. Like we'd go out to the bars and I was, you know, a good time. But as I got older, it was just me sitting in a chair drinking whiskey playing video poker. And I thought, I don't want to do this for my life. So I just kind of gave it up and I'm kind of going with it. But when I see someone with a great looking martini or an old fashioned, it is tempting. And I will have one again one day. But right now I'm just kind of riding the wave. Well, like you with your two days.
Do you feel better?
Yes.
Could you that noticeably, like, what was the instant where you're like, yeah, okay, that's what the alcohol was doing to me?
Well, I've grown 2 inches and I'm middle aged. So that.
Wow.
I can almost dunk
that's
again.
Incredible.
Yeah. I noticed it. You know, I sleep better. Mm-hmm. I wake up and I feel good, you know, and it's, I'm just getting to that point where I can't do 4 or 5 drinks a night. I would die.
See, and I can't either, but I do enjoy a glass of wine with dinner. So that's when I'm saying that. So anybody out there listening, like, whoa, she can't go without drinking for one day.
However, one glass of wine at dinner is fine. A lot of people can't do that. One turns into 3 or 4, and then you're packing on calories and sugar, and you're not sleeping well and all that kind of stuff. It leads to a lot of peripheral problems.
I'm very high strung, and I just really like that glass of wine with my meal to just kind of wind down and, now we're going into the nighttime.
Yeah, and I'm not here to judge it. I am judging a little. 42 out of 50 counties. The CDC tracked the prevalence of adults who reported binge drinking by state in 2021 and found that Wisconsin led the U.S. with 23.5% of adults reporting excessive drinking behavior. And they attributed this to a Wisconsin Public Radio study that showed that the Badger State has more access to booze. It's available more places. However, you can't buy alcohol here after 9 o'clock.
No, and they also said about the prices being low in that same statement.
Correct.
Which Pete.
Yeah.
We have the Miller Brewery in our state in Milwaukee.
Right.
We have the Leinenkugel's Brewery. We have
Schlitz, Blatz,
all
of
those. And those are the nationals.
Pabst,
yes. Yeah. Those are the national brands.
Right.
Now think about all of our micro brews that are starting to.
Polaris.
Yes. Spotted Cow, which is known nationwide as well.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird... And they also attributed to the fact that liquor is heavily advertised, particularly on public transit. So they're targeting public transit riders. But I don't... Do ads... When you see an ad, does that make you want to have a drink?
No.
I don't think I'm that easily persuaded. I'm either going to do it or I'm not.
And I don't walk up to Miller Park, which is not Miller Park anymore, and think, man, I need to go in and have myself a Miller.
Right. Right. I don't know. This is, I found it only 8 counties out of 50.
You guys.
Conrad, what do you make of this?
So I just got to read a text. Andrew from Verona said, I do wonder, though, if this is self-reported. Wisconsinites are proud of their drinking
stats.
That's
true.
So mm-hmm. maybe we're just more truthful and bubble up to the top of these lists.
Or I thought where he was going with that is Wisconsin made this up to brag and and attract other drinkers to the state. I don't want to speak for Andrew. But yeah, I don't know. So there you go. I mean, all right. So here's what our question of the night, Heather.
Yeah.
Is what is an acceptable number of drinks? You have what you called your gentleman friend here.
Yeah.
You want to introduce?
Dan is here. He said he didn't want to talk.
He doesn't want to be on the
air.
No, so
he's going to, yeah.
He's over on his phone.
Yep. Already, he's so cute.
Already trying to meet other girls because he's
designated driver.
Not happy mm-hmm. that you've given up alcohol for 2 days. But Dan, mm-hmm. welcome. And so you guys just kind of started dating, right?
Yes.
All right. So this is a good question. This is our question of the night.
Okay.
What is an acceptable number of drinks to have on a first date?
I would say, well, and we've been friends for many years. So just depending on that circumstance, but if it's going in cold, I would say two. Two is a really good, okay. safe number.
Seems about right.
What are people saying?
I have no study in front of me. I'm just curious. We were just thinking of this. What about you, Dan?
How many would you say?
You don't want to
two?
Talk? Two? Okay.
Okay, so what if you were on a first date with someone and they had like four wines, which would be like a bottle? Would that be a like red flag to you? Yeah, he would judge. Okay.
Or would that change the trajectory of the date?
Mm-hmm. Like, ooh, okay,
this girl this is gonna or be this fun. Guy wants to party.
Yeah, like, wow.
I don't think they have any intention of going for a second date. Another round of Jaeger over here.
Put me out of my misery.
My guest is Heather Hiles. She is the director. Well, tell us about your gig again. I think it's so great. Let's tie in children's museums with drinking.
Yeah, let's do that. I am the director of business development at the Children's Museum of Green Bay. So I am actually on the fundraising side of things for the museum to help bring awareness to what we're doing for children's education.
That's so cool.
Thank
love children's
you.
Museums. I didn't mean
so
to deviate
fun.
From our... Maybe we can come back to that.
We can.
Because this is kind of fun talking
about
the alcohol.
Drinking.
I haven't had a drink in 15 months, so I like talking about alcohol.
Of other people doing it. Can I share with you, we recently went to a tiki bar in Milwaukee called Foundations.
Okay.
And at the end of the night, we asked the bartender where we could go to get 24-hour breakfast because it was 2 a.m. and we're older, but we were still hungry for some breakfast food.
Right.
And they shared that none of them have survived the pandemic. And that most college kids don't spend their money, their tuition money on booze anymore. They're just
gummies.
Yeah. They just don't do the booze thing anymore.
Is that
so
right?
None of those places are open anymore. Isn't that fascinating? There's been that turn to the gummies versus the alcohol.
My takeaway from this, if those kids would step up, we would have had 50 out of 50 counties.
We totally would. And I would have had breakfast that night at 2 a.m. like a normal person.
Exactly. You know what the greatest, there was a place on the east side called the Brady Street Pharmacy. It was on Brady Street.
Mm-hmm.
When I used to work the comedy cafe there and do stand-up, I worked there like 4 weeks a year. It was so much fun. They put us up in this, quote, condo, end quote, kind of kitty corner from the club. Down the street, you had the Brady Street Pharmacy where you could get, it was an actual pharmacy, but then you could sit at the counter and have eggs and toast.
Waffle House type thing.
Funkiest place. And, you could buy... a product, you could have an enema over here and then you could have breakfast.
Perfect.
It was like the crate, get a prescription filled. And
enemas and waffles.
Down
Why
the street,
did they just call it that?
There you go.
I
want a taste of that if you ever start that up.
No, gross.
I don't mean a taste of the, I want some of the profits. And then down the street from there was a place called Cataldo's, which was an Italian restaurant, and they were open until 5 in the morning. You could go get linguine and clam sauce at 4 o'clock in the morning. It was the most fun.
I would do this. It's good food. Yes.
I don't know.
You can't find it nowhere. And they were like, sorry, nobody does that anymore. You can go to a gas station and get a sandwich or something. Go to Quick Trip and get a dunker or,
you could get lost in Quick. You go into Quick Trip after bar time, you need like to pack a lunch to go in there and figure out what you want to eat.
Because you need to do that anytime because there's just so many options. Like it's
crazy.
So good though. Yeah. I like the Quick Trip.
Hey, Conrad.
Yeah.
You still here?
I didn't take a powder. Okay.
What? You went to school in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Have you been to Brady Street, any of these establishments?
Well, I didn't go to any of the places you were talking about, but I did. I went to Joe Cat's.
Oh, yeah. I remember that place.
Is it still open? Are any of them open? Were we being misled?
I don't think the pharmacy is there anymore. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah, I don't think that is. And I was more interested to see if Cataldo's was open because that was like a big, like you went in there and it had the look of like 70s mob.
Yes.
Like I went in there and I'm like, I am not sitting with my back to the door in this place. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not in the mob. I should be okay here. Yeah, you just get a plate of spaghetti.
But you get that feel when you go in there. Yeah, I love that kind of stuff.
When I left Goodfellas, I'm like, is someone trying to take me out? Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you're a comedian in Pennsylvania. Nobody knows you. You're working the road. Shut up.
It's a fun story, though.
We got some. Well, I'm glad you say that. I started to nod off during my own story, so I'm glad you liked it. Is this Andrew from Verona? Did you already read this one?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And then we got another one. This is also Andrew from Verona.
Yeah, is he replying? Because you asked him a question.
Wouldn't it be more accurate to look at liver disease stats per capita? I mean, maybe.
Andrew.
That's a tough one.
It is a tough one. And people process differently. So, like, one of my very best friends, she can put a 12-pack down and have a very coherent conversation with me.
Really?
And she just is, okay, I have two and I start slurring my words. It's just tolerance and all of those factors that go into that as well.
Yeah, but... like, there are some people that could do that. I always felt like I could pull it off, you know, like, oh, yeah. But then the next day, I would have no recollection of what I was saying or whatever. Hey, Heather Heil is here. And coming up next, we're gonna put a button on this booze conversation and switch to some awesome TV and film. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Whenever you're around, ooh, baby, when I see your face, mellow as the month of
The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night. Coming up in the second hour, two indie filmmakers are going to join me to talk about their series Northbound that they shot in the UP. They did like four seasons of it. And we'll talk to them in a little bit after 8 o'clock. Right now, Heather Heil is with me. She's the director of the
Children's Museum of Green Bay. Yeah, not like a film, but the museum.
And your title is
Director of Business Development.
I knew you were a director, which plays into our next topic. But before we move on, this is the part about the drinking thing. Just if we could put a button on that. Excessive drinking also has been associated with automobile accidents and fatalities. Wisconsin counties occupy 8 of the 10 highest percentages of fatal car accidents involving alcohol. That's almost exactly 42 out of 50 is basically 8 out of 10.
Yes, and so most of them had like 17 or 18 deaths from alcohol related. Because honestly, when I was looking at that, that's the first thing I looked at of like how many people have lost their lives because of this binge drinking.
And what, like, at what point, I remember I was at a concert when I was living in LA, and two very good friends of mine grew up there, and they lived in the San Fernando Valley, and they were really good guys. And I got a bunch of my Chicago comedian friends, a couple guys from Wisconsin, there's about 8 of us, and these two guys joined us. And we went to a Bodine's concert at the House of Blues on Sunset Boulevard. Mm-hmm. So we are down in booze, and the two brothers are like, do you guys all get in your cars and drive home after that? Like, they were mortified.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was like, it made me think, honestly, I'm like, well, yeah.
Of course we do. We have to. Yeah.
But it stuck with me. And and I was like, yeah, that's not. And, you know, and I don't know if you've been to L.A. It's curves through the mountains. Mm-hmm. It's treacherous driving just to get to where I live. So that was one instance. And I just it really did make me think. And I have to say, I don't drink and drive anymore.
That's a whole nother conversation. Yeah. Like, you shouldn't be getting behind in the age of Uber and all of those things. And
right.
I mean, there are people in your lives who, no matter how angry they may be, that you can call to come pick you up. And I'm also trending, Pete, an event recently that I was interested in going to. said right on it, you cannot participate in this event unless you have a designated driver and you need to show it. Who that. And I thought, this is brilliant. Why have we not done this before?
That is great. And you know what? You're going to get pushback. Some people are going to go, hey, I know how to handle my. No, this affects other people. This isn't about your freedom.
Like, no, if you want to do this event, you have to have a designated driver, period.
No one's telling you can't drink.
Right.
Conrad, we have a call?
Yes, actually, it is Tom from LA again.
Tom, long time, buddy. How you been?
First off, Heather, I went to St. Norbert, so I know that area very, very well. And second, when I'm in LA, I don't drink really at all, if ever.
Yeah.
But when I go back to visit Wisconsin, I drink as much as I drank probably when I was in college. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
And why do you think that is, Tom?
It's the camaraderie, maybe. I think it's maybe, one, it's always, you know, going back for a Packer game. So then you're getting pretty, you know, wasted.
The sports.
Sports, yeah, that's a big part of it.
Sports in terms of that, but I think also just the whole concept of tailgating and being out in the cold and, you know, drinking. I mean, I know you guys are cold now because of climate catastrophe, but, you know, it's just something where... you know, like my brother-in-law and sister have a cabin, you know, down in the woods, and you know, it's kind of like this, it's the Double D, and it's a place where, you know, we all go down and drink and have fun and enjoy ourselves. And I think it's very, very unlikely to walk into a Wisconsin home, at least where I'm from, and for someone to say, hey, do you want a beer?
Oh, that's the first question that they say.
It's always the first question.
Right.
You know, and in California, you don't get that. You want a soda, you want some water. You know, that might be something you have, but you always have in Wisconsin a cold beer in the refrigerator, Spotted Cow preferably. you know, and you're ready for it. In fact, I even made up a little thing when I was drunk one time. It was, I went to the bar and... I said a good slogan for Spotted Cow would be get up to the bar and say, just say moo. And you say moo. And they have to give you bring you a beer.
And then they politely ask you to leave.
Start mooing at people.
With what beer you want.
That's the thing, too. It is a culture. And I do remember here, I had a screening of a film I did years ago. And a guy drove up in Green Bay in a Hummer. And he threw back, what was the joke? Jim Beam and something. He had about 11, got back in his Hummer.
Oh, sure.
Drove back to Green Bay. It was winter. And he thought nothing. No, this is what you do.
Like, no, like, it'll be fine. It's icy out. Like, they won't know that I'm drinking and driving.
He's protected.
And just...
What about the guy in the, you know, Toyota Corolla? Yeah. So, anyway, that's a great point, Tom. And
Also, I will say my tolerance level, I think, goes up when I go back home for some reason, too, because
it has to.
I mean, I can drink a case of beer at home or, you know, back in Wisconsin. But here I just, you know, no, it's just, I don't know. It's really, really strange. Here I really don't feel like drinking.
You got to hit those Wisconsin bars, Tom, so you can find other people who will drink a case of beer with you.
Yeah, we do have some Packer bars.
My friend Beth.
Our people out here. Yeah.
So that's awesome.
North Hollywood, so.
Oh, yeah. All yeah. Right. I lived in Valley Village and Studio City first. So
here. Yep. Right,
yeah. We were probably in line together at Gelson's and didn't even know it. So
there you go.
All Absolutely. Right, buddy. Have a
All
great
right,
night.
Thank
thanks
you.
Again,
All right,
Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. You bet.
I like Tom.
Tom's a good guy. He's been a very good listener. Conrad, were you just saying peace?
No, I think he was saying we're talking too much.
You know radio.
I
had a great question here, and now I can't find. Oh, here's what I wanted. Okay, we'll tease this maybe. Can you stick around for
a second? Yeah, I absolutely can.
What is, and Dan, you can weigh in on this too. I know you don't want to talk in the air, but.
We can suck them. We can
corner,
suck them in.
Just,
yeah.
So when I was younger, which was always from when I just said that, the drinking age was 18.
Beer bars.
Yeah, and my wife was 6 months younger than me, and she couldn't. I got grandfathered into the 18-year-old. She had to wait till she was 19. So they raised her from 18 to 19, which I get. You're typically out of high school for sure by then. What should the drinking age be?
I personally feel that if you're able to fight for your country, you should be able to legally drink a beer.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I just feel it just make I'll draw a line in the sand.
I feel like we can reach a common ground. Like, I don't mind the drinking age being 18, as long as we have strict laws to protect everybody.
Agreed.
You know, and, you know, you hear about people getting six DUIs. How do you get it back after the second one or the third one? Heather Heil is here. We're going to talk movies and TV. I know I promised that last time. This time, I mean it, damn it. We will be right back with more Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When it's late in the evening and all the music's seeping through. Young man, next thing I remember, I was walking down the street. I was feeling all right, I'm with my boys, I'm with my troops, yeah. Town of